teachers that were here this morning sharing, certainly Jim Dunn, who was on just before. Jim always reminds me of that Krishnamurti story, one of my favorite stories, where he only said two words, look within. And look within is our topic this morning, which we'll get into a little bit later. And thanking Lynn Johnson for the playing of the Ken Wapnick audios. And every time you listen to a Ken Wapnick audio, you remember something that you always knew, but you actually forgot. And he's just always just reminding you of what it is that you already knew. And she finds them out on YouTube. You don't even really need the workshops anymore. There's dozens of Ken Wapnick YouTube audio videos out there. You can listen to them, and every one of them this morning was just perfect to listen to. And in fact, every single one of them was really an opportunity to remember that we live in a sea of synchronicity, and Karen Ann, who's just here, and Karen Ann, I didn't know where it is, but you just posted on Open Minds from two different sources that synchronicity is like gravity. It's universal. It's everywhere. And of course, I have been saying for some time, we live in a sea of synchronicity. Synchronicity is absolutely everywhere, always, as God is everywhere, always. If you want to post that again here, Karen Ann, I'd love it. I don't have it in front of me, but if you post it, I'd love to see that from the two sources that you use for it. And I think it's so important to know that synchronicity is everywhere, because synchronicity is actually the earthly form of love in a way, because you realize that when all you want to see is love, love is all you will see. And if Koji is in the room, I think Koji is in the room. Well, Koji is over in Tokyo, so where it's probably, it's getting late over in Tokyo, but he's not in the room. But he this morning, talking about synchronicity, actually wrote the line from text chapter 12, section 7, which Suzanne Fishman, my wife, will be reading from in the next few minutes, 15 minutes from now, I guess. When you want only love, you'll see nothing else. Yes, Koji plays a good piano. But he actually wrote this in the room this morning. I said, Koji, that's from our Awakening Together Sunday morning service, which is happening an hour from now. He says, wow. I mean, it seems like these things happen. Wow, what a coincidence that is. No. In the one mind. Well, synchronicity for me, Hazel, is seeing that everything is united as one, that there is no separation, that everything is happening perfectly. Why does that guy Dub say all things happen perfectly always? Because they do. Because they do. But, you know, until you actually experience it, I guess you say, well, why does he say that? You know, things don't seem to be happening perfectly. Okay, that's a slight departure from our morning program, and I guess I'll be making one other departure before we get into the service a little bit later on. But this is the service. Thanking everyone for being here, joining with us, knowing that we are all joined in purpose with one goal, one purpose, and that is to awaken together. And I'm going to use this topic that we're speaking of right now, look within. And, you know, as it turned out, when Koji wrote that thing on the board, and I rewrote it over here, I also said it comes from look within, and it was perfect synchronicity for me, because even though this line appears in text chapter 12, section 7, look within, and it happens to be one of my all-time favorite lines in this course, I didn't realize until this morning when I put Look Within right next to it, that it's not when you want to see love outside of yourself, it's when you want to see only love within yourself, the pure love that you are, the pure love that you are. You will see nothing else. We'll get into that in a few minutes, too, thanks to Regina's audio, which I listened to several times, which I will put the link up here on purification. And thanks to all the people that helped make that possible, Lynn Johnson and Jay McCormick. So what I'm going to ask in our greeting each other, as we usually do this morning, we're going to first look within and see the pure love that you are, because when all you want to see is the pure love you are, you'll see nothing else. It is said that if you look within and you see something else, you say, well, I don't want to really let everyone know who I am or what I am, but I'll just say the right words. No. Today we're going to not only hug and kiss, but we're going to look within and allow what's in our heart, the pure love that we are, to greet and meet all of our brothers and sisters here. So I'm going to call upon my music director, Lynn Johnson, to play some music appropriate for this, and we're going to then go into just meeting and greeting. Lynn Johnson, some music, please. Thank you so much.
Love is written in the sun. It's poured out on the earth. It's scattered around the universe. And love is sailing on a prayer. It's flying in the kiss. It's singing out that love.
Love.
All right. Thank you so much for that wonderful music. And thanks for asking, Regina, who is singing. And that is Laurel Eden, who is one of our own guest teachers here on Thursdays. I think she starts around 12:30 or 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoons, Eastern Time. And she is a wonderful... she just started being a guest teacher here a few months ago. And she actually hangs out here a lot because she says she just loves the love that's in the room. She just loves the love that's in the room. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to speak a few words on... I'm going to depart from our usual program a little, but I'm going to start with the purpose of our awakening together. It says, we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self with an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And, that is that singularity of purpose, that actually purpose is really everything. Purpose is meaning, as it says in Lesson 25, three-word sentence. Purpose is meaning. What is our purpose? If you think that your purpose is separate or different from another's purpose, you can be sure that we're listening to the voice of separation and division. And you don't really need to do that anymore, and we'll get into that a little bit later this morning. Because that is not who you are. You are one with all. You are as God created, and He creates all as the same, which is equal. Equal and sameness and equality is the one condition of peace. Without equality, peace is impossible. And creation or love is the author of peace. It's the author of peace. So, when all we say is we want the peace of God, and to say these words is one thing, to mean it is something else. Just remember that that is the truth. You are the peace of God. But you must look within and see the truth that you have been afraid to look at. I am going to then say that core value number 5 is one I choose to speak on this very morning. In a way, in tribute to our brother, Kenneth Wapnick, Ken Wapnick, some of them call him Uncle Kenny, and has been a teacher, certainly for me, since I first knew him back in 1980. But the core value number 5 says, we accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Yes, Kenny had a calling. There's no two ways about it. Everyone knows that. He overcame so many challenges. If you ever knew Kenny back in 1980 and ever was in a room with him where he could take almost a full minute to get one word out. He was really, and I know this because I was a stutterer in my teenage years, and I used to be in the room where he used to give talks in New York City, and it was painful for me to be in the room to see what he was going through to get one word out. Can you imagine going through all of that and being what most people consider the teacher that Jesus asked to literally bring his work into the world in a way for all who chose to understand and hear could actually hear Ken Wapnick speak the message of the Course. Yeah. And I'm going to say a few words as we are entering into this final few days of this year. If Bob DeWard, if you have the link to the link for this room for starting January 1, the room will not be called ACM Gather for A Course in Miracles. It will be called Awakening Together Sanctuary. And if you go to this link, at Bob DeWard, if you have that link and put it up, whenever you put it up is fine. They'll give you the directions on how to re-bookmark this room. Because if you're coming into this room using the bookmark from Pal Talk, it will not work January 1 anymore. Okay, if Barb doesn't have it, maybe someone else has it. Well, I just don't have it in front of me right now. But there it is. Thank you so much, Lynn. Okay, that is the that's the instructions for how to find this room again and re-bookmark this room, because starting January 1, your old bookmark will not work. And I'm going to use that as an opportunity to just spend a few minutes speaking on. Yes, I had a calling too. I know Regina Dornaker said to me, Dove, you must have had a calling for this, because, you know, to do this for 10 years. And I want you to know, for me, doing it for 10 years was actually effortless. And I use that word because, you know, yeah, I sometimes did complain. That's true. But I really did it. It really didn't take anything really away from me. It was always here, and it was a calling. There's no two ways about it. And I feel so privileged that I was given this calling to actually call upon all who would choose to come. And I've never been fooled. Holy Spirit leads everyone here. Holy Spirit leads everyone here. There's no one who comes here who is not led by Holy Spirit. We don't really advertise. We don't really promote. This is actually, if you're here, you have been led here. Just like we've all been led throughout our lives. And I'm going to talk about my challenge. You know, who knew way back in 1980, New Year's Eve, 1980, in John Mundy's house, when I was innocently asked by Giselle Lasbro, said, let's start a Course in Miracles group in my home in Greenwich Village, and David, will you lead it? And I heard in my mind all the reasons why I could not lead it. You've gone halfway through the workbook. You've never opened up the textbook. You don't really know what this course is saying. How could you possibly lead it? But all I really heard coming through my lips was, yes, I will. And I had done some work on myself prior to this, thanks to Werner Erhard and S, in which I did really get my little small self, the voice of the small self, out of the way. But I assure you, I did not know what I was doing. Just like Kenny had a stutter that you just could not believe. In 1980, when I met him, I did not know what I was doing either. And I want you to know, even though I did the final lesson, which is today's lesson, lesson 361 through 365, and I put Holy Spirit in charge at my request, knowing the direction he'd lead will bring me peace. That's the lesson I did for 27 years, that even all of that, I still did not know what I was doing, and when I opened up ACM Gather, I was just giving one instruction from Spirit: never use this room for correction. Do not use it for correction, and you find that in Chapter 9, Section 3. And all I know is that if you were talking to me in 2004 about trust, I would say, well, what do you mean by trust? Somehow, I trusted all the way. I trusted all the way. Just like I know that Ken Wapnick, when he first met Bill and Helen and was shown the course, he trusted, or else he could never have been the Ken Wapnick we know. With that, I'm going to turn this mic over to Suzanne, who's my wife, who's going to be reading from one of my all-time favorite sections, Looking Within, Chapter 12, Section 7. She's going to be starting with paragraph number 7, and she can do the next two paragraphs, and then we'll see what Holy Spirit has in store.
Thank you, David. I love you so much. Today I'm reading in memory of my good friend, Ken Wapnick. He will always live with love in my heart. Okay. I said before that what you project or extend is up to you, but you must do one or the other, for that is the law of the mind. And you must look in before you look out. As you look in, you choose the guide for seeing, and then you look out and behold his witnesses. This is why you find what you seek. What you want in yourself you will make manifest, and you will accept it from the world because you put it there by wanting it. When you think you are projecting what you do not want, it is still because you do want it. This leads directly in disassociation, for it represents the acceptance of two goals, each perceived in a different place, separated from each other because you made them different. The mind then sees a divided world outside itself, but not within. This gives it an illusion of integrity and enables it to believe that it is pursuing one goal. Yet, as long as you perceive the world is split, you are not healed. For to be healed is to pursue one goal, because you have accepted only one and want but one. When you want only love, you will see nothing else.
Say it again.
When you want only love, you will see nothing else. The contradictory nature of the witnesses you perceive is merely the reflection of your conflicting invitations. You have looked upon your mind and accepted opposition there, having sought it there. But do not then believe that the witnesses for opposition are true, for they attest only to your decision about reality, returning to you the messages you give them. Love, too, is recognized by its messengers. If you make love manifest, its messengers will come to you because you invited them. I'd like to read that again. If you make love manifest, its messengers will come to you because you invited them. The power of decision is your one and remaining freedom as one prisoner of this world. You can decide to see it right. What you made of it is not its reality, for its reality is only what you give it. You cannot really give anything but love to anyone or anything. You cannot really give anything but love to anyone or anything. I'm just reading that again also. Nor can you really receive anything but love from them. If you think you have received anything else, it is because you have looked within and thought you saw the power to give something else within yourself. It was only this decision that determined what you found, for it was the decision for what you sought.
Okay, thank you so much, Suzanne. Yeah, and it says the power of decision. The power of decision. Thank you so much, Suzanne. The power of decision is your one remaining freedom as a prisoner of this world. So, Jesus, as we hear many times Ken Wapnick say, takes off the gloves when he speaks to us. He says, you know, you are in a prison world. Please don't forget that you are a slave. You are a prisoner of a thought system that you made up. And then I'm going to use another one of Ken's aphorisms, one of my favorites. This world that you see and all the answers that this world gives you is a maladjusted solution to a non-existent problem. Yes, we thought there was a problem because we remembered not to laugh. We took it seriously and we wanted to be right. That's what we wanted. We wanted to be right. And yes, we started looking for answers in the world. The world was made as a maladjusted solution to a non-existent problem. And a lot of this really comes from my own inquiry, and I want to give thanks where thanks is certainly due. And I'm going to put up the link, if I can ever find it. Oh, here it is. Okay. I want to thank Lynn Johnson for playing this in the room, as she always plays whenever she has a chance. Some of Regina Dawn Akers' audios, which is for the ministerial program. And this one, for some reason, is this one, which is on purification. At first I was listening, and you know how you half listen? Because I already know what purification is. And then all of a sudden, as synchronicity would have it, I was fully listening, because it was meant for me to hear the message. And purification happens to be a word from A Course in Miracles of the 50 miracle principles. Only number 7, which is miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first, is what we are responsible for. We're not responsible for the other 49. They happen naturally. There's nothing you need to do for the other 49 miracle principles to happen. But purification is, and I put that link up, and I heartily recommend when you have an opportunity to actually listen to this maybe once, twice, three, four times. And thanks to Lynn, she played it a few times, and then thanks to Jay McCormick, he played it a few times. And after I heard it, I realized that the answer to my self-inquiry, which Suzanne DeKaiser and I have been doing for a few weeks now, is, you know, why am I driven looking for answers in this world when I know there are no answers in this world? There are no answers in this world. But we keep looking. It's going to be on the next page. It's going to be in the next conference. It's going to be in the next this. It's going to be. No, there are no answers. Look within. Look within. Look and see the answer within. There is a section called The Quiet Answer Within. It's that in our creation and in our mistaken perception that we had done something that was sinful, which is a mistaken perception, the answer was given to us. The answer, which some people call the Holy Spirit, is the answer within us, that stillness. Let me be still and know that I am God. Let me be still. Simply do this. Be still. Be still. I am not a body. I am free. I am still. As God created. It's in that stillness that the answer is. There's nothing in this world that can give you anything or can touch the stillness, the peace of God that is within us. Nothing. Nothing. They are two different worlds. They don't touch each other. But while I am busying my mind out with, well, I got to solve this problem, and I really don't like the way I reacted to this person. Maybe I learned something from it, and I'm not going to do that again in the future. I learned something. The guy from Sedona Method said the only reason you want to remember these things and want to learn these things is that you're afraid it's going to happen again. But actually, they're never happening unless you choose to listen to that voice. Unless you choose to listen to that voice that says, oh, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that, if only this, and if only that. And if that's the voice you're listening to, you can save yourself a lot of time. And I've often said, if this course is anything, it's a course in saving time. As he says, hey, listen, a miracle can save you 1,000 years as you count time, and this course can save you thousands of years. And you can save it right here, right now, without reading more of the Course, by realizing that the voice and the voice that you think is you is not you. But that's the voice that we listen to, and we think, oh man, next time I'm going to get it right. There is no next time. Whenever you hear next time, that's always the ego speaking to you, and I assure you, as Kenny Wapnick says, the ego, which is sin, guilt, and fear, is a forgot his words. Maladjusted solution to a non-existent problem. There is no problem. You never left. You never went anywhere. You never went into exile. You never needed answers. You just remembered not to laugh. You took it seriously, and you thought the answers were in the world that the ego made for you to look for answers. Remember the ego's mantra is seek and do not find. Remember that? Ego's mantra is seek and do. It wants you to look where the answer is not, and you will always be bitterly disappointed because there is no answer here. As our brother and teacher, Benny Silverman says, hey, look at lesson 128. When you finally get to, there is nothing in this world I want. Because you already have what you're looking for. Then you get into today's reading. Today's reading, of course, is the one that Suzanne just said. When you want only love, you'll see nothing else. And when I was listening to Regina's audio on purification, and she went into a few thoughts about unworthiness and fear of rejection, which I leave for you to listen to on your own, it did come up for me, that line from the Course in Miracles, one of my favorite lines. It says, your worth is established by, and as I was writing it here in the room, the Holy Spirit gave me the word love. Your worth is established by love. And then the next two words came from the Holy Spirit too. Pure love, because we're talking about purification. If you listen to the audio, yes, purification is that which is pure, is always pure. It doesn't change. It's changeless. That doesn't mean you, if you think you can mix something and put it on top of it and stain the purity, and then you try to get the stain out, you're going to be trying all day and all night to get that stain out. But it never touched. It never touched the purity, the love of God, which sustains us always. So then you get into, when you want only love, you'll see nothing else. And then he says, the power of decision is your one remaining freedom as a prisoner of this world. So again, he's reminding you, don't take this all that lightly now. Don't think you can just do a flip. I'm going to flip it. I'm just going to realize that I don't have to listen to that voice anymore. No. As long as you think the dream is real, as long as you're standing inside the dream and you're the figure in the dream, you think that the dream is dreaming you. And you're just going to flip that thing around. And as Ken Wapnick reminded us, and thank you so much, Lynn, for playing it, because I kind of heard it again this morning. You cannot wake up. You cannot awaken. You cannot awaken from a dream that is dreaming you. You cannot awaken from a dream that is dreaming you. No, you can't. You must, realizing that you are dreaming and that you're not the figure in the dream, you are the dreamer of the dream. You are the decision maker. You chose to dream. And anything that you have done, you can choose once again, the final section of the text. You can choose once again. And that's where the power of decision comes in. This power of decision is your one remaining freedom. As a prisoner of this world, you can decide to see it right. You can decide to see it right. Jesus can't do this for you. God can't do this for you. No one can do this for you. You are the decision maker. You decided wrongly. I must have decided wrongly because I'm not feeling too well. I'm listening to this voice that's telling me what I got to do in order to finally, you know, be the loving, approved, safe, secure, in control son of God. No. You don't want to listen to that voice anymore. Actually, you're not really doing anything. You're just literally either in the dream thinking that this is real, or you're remembering that you're dreaming, and you can awaken. You can awaken. You can wake up from a dream when you realize that you are the dreamer of the dream. The dream is not dreaming you. You are dreaming the dream. So you have to get to that particular place where you say, I really don't need this anymore. And that's pretty much what lesson 128, which Benny Silverman talks about all the time. You know, there is nothing in this world I want anymore. Because if you think that there is, you're still dreaming. Oh, no. I get 99.999% of what this course is telling me, but I'm holding out just in case. And there's no such thing as holding out just in case. It's either 100%, you're either fully committed or not. This is totality. Either you have total integrity, or you have zero integrity. Total or zero. No Mr. In between. Total integrity is you get to begin to smile and laugh once you realize that you're doing this to yourself. And that is the secret of salvation. I am doing this to myself. And as you do that, and as you begin to realize you're doing this to yourself, and you want to go a little bit deeper, and you want to do a little bit more self-inquiry, you start looking at all the thoughts that you ever had, and they will come up for you. Don't worry. You're actually saying, I want to look at this again. I'm not burying it. I want to look at it. And those thoughts will come up in your mind, and if you don't control them, but you just look at them, you're just standing there, you're in the movie theater, you know, passing popcorn with Jesus, and you're watching the movie, you're not the figure in the movie, you're stepping back and say, I will step back and let Him, Holy Spirit, the love I am, lead the way, and you begin to see the insanity of these thoughts, that you actually thought that you were different than others, that maybe you were more special, maybe you were less special, maybe you were superior, maybe you were inferior. Oh, no. Your worthiness is established by pure love, and that is true for all. If you leave one person out, who do you think you're leaving out? That's why he has that wonderful line, if you're not wholly joyous, you must have withheld love from one of God's creations. Why don't you take a look at that? Which one of God's creations? And I know the eagle mind immediately says, oh, it must have been my mother-in-law. Oh, it must have been that person, you know, that I gave the finger on the highway. No. None of those things are true. You're listening to that again, you're right back into being a figure in the dream. No. You're dreaming this dream. That is not who you are. That is not who I am. That is not who I am. I am as God created. I am the pure love, and everyone in my dream is pure love. Kind of reminds me of what we had up here, up in our banner. We've had it here for many years now, and it does come from text chapter 8, section 3. It's called the Holy Encounter. And it says, whenever you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. I just want to speak a few words about that, because in chapter 21, where I say, you don't have to accept what I say, by the way, that's where A Course in Miracles starts. Just like I believe Regina says in NTI, NTI starts in the book of Luke. In chapter 21, it says, projection makes perception. The world you see is nothing more than an outside picture of an inward condition. So, if you think that your inner condition, your inward condition, is a screw up, that you're sometimes jerky, but you don't want others to know how jerky you are, you'll definitely see jerks all around you. Because that's what you want to see. You are projecting out onto others what it is that you do not want to see within yourself. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist there. So whenever you call anyone a jerk, obviously you're really speaking about yourself. And that, of course, is one of the two axioms of this course as far as I'm concerned. I'm always speaking about myself. There's no exceptions to that. It doesn't matter what you're saying. You could say, this person is the most beautiful, angelic, loving. I'm so grateful to be in their presence. You're speaking about yourself. And I say that only because sometimes people think if you spot it, you got it. He's only talking about seeing guilt. No. No matter what you say about another, you're always speaking about yourself. So if you use that as a guideline, you might start catching yourself faster and faster and faster. Say, you know, why would I call this person a liar? Why would I call this person a cheat? Why would I call this person somebody who betrayed me? Why would I do that? I'm speaking about myself. Yes, and if you listen to that wonderful audio from Regina, you'll hear that betrayal is impossible, as Jesus found out back, and he said, I could never have possibly said to my brother Judas, thou betrayest me with a kiss, when my whole life was, I did not believe in that. I did not believe in condemnation. So if you think that condemnation is possible, well, that's how we condemn ourselves. That's how we stay in prison. So remember when it says, this is your last remaining freedom in this prison that you made for yourself, he's not telling you to joke around with this. To get yourself out of prison, you must realize that you are doing this to yourself, and only you can undo it. Only you. That's what salvation is. Salvation is undoing. Yes, is attack possible? One of my favorite audios. Yeah. Well, as long as you bring it up, Lightfeather, I might go into that. When Regina and I were at the Chicago conference, and we were teaching there together at the conference, I remember the Sunday morning, which is the second session that we did together. I remember I was in the room. I said, oh, I definitely want to speak about is attack possible, and. I think that Regina said the same thing, that she had said the same thing, and as it turned out, neither of us actually shared on it in the actual presentation that we made on our second day together. So I'm going to say a few things here. That is one of the most powerful things to, it does come from inquiry, and it came from something that happened 4 or 5 years ago during a time where a lot of people saw attack. Look at that attack. Look at that. They're attacking each other. The teachers of A Course in Miracles, I don't care if your name is Gary Renard or John Mundy or Robert Perry or no matter who it is, they're not saying nice things about each other. They're attacking. And Regina came home and spoke to the Holy Spirit and says, you know, is attack possible? And the Holy Spirit said, no, attack is impossible. Because when you're really welcoming love, and love does wait upon our welcome, only the love is real. So then how can you reconcile these angry words that seem to be said in anger and thrown at each other, you know, mindlessly? So she said, well, you know, how do you reconcile this? And the Holy Spirit said, it's love. Love, yes. Love is spirit giving to spirit, through spirit, what spirit requests, what spirit requests. And there was a wonderful line posted here on Open Minds by Karen Ann. If you want to, again, you want to put that line up, I don't know if I could ever find it, but actually it was a line really, yeah, here it is, I actually found it, from Eckhart Tolle. It says, life will give you whatever experience is most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. How do you know that this is the experience that you need? Because this is the experience you're having at this moment. How simple! How simple is salvation? What you have is what you need. Nothing more and nothing less. Life will give you whatever experience is most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. How do you know that this is the experience that you need? Because this is the experience you're having. There are no accidents. God doesn't play dice with the universe. Nothing happens at random. And the second axiom of this course, the second axiom, the first being, I'm always speaking to myself about myself, no exceptions. The second axiom is that all things that happen in this world are for my healing. All things that happen in this world are for my healing. That's the only purpose that this world has. It has no other purpose. It will present you with lessons. And lesson 193, one of the final lessons in part one, and any one of those last 20 lessons is the entire course, is all things are lessons. All things are lessons God would have me learn for my own healing. Of course, that next lesson, 194, is one of my favorites. It's also the birthday lesson for Regina. She does a review lesson. I place the future in the hands of God. I really have nothing to do with it. And if I thought I had anything to do with it, I would be the ego again. What I have learned is that we really have nothing to do with anything in this world. It's being done to us and through us. That spirit giving to spirit through spirit. What spirit requests, what spirit requests. It's spirit. That's what trust is. To totally trust is to rely upon spirit totally. And anyone who truly wants to hear the word of God, the message of this course or any course that is for the healing of God's Son, simply needs to do nothing except to step back and allow it to be done to them and through them. Okay, we're at that particular point, and I'm about to maybe turn this mic over to Lynn Johnson for some more music. I'm going to remind everyone that this is a time to maybe contemplate and hear and see if you're looking within what you are willing to look at, and we're going to have a sharing session coming up right after this music session. And we're going to have a sharing session, and it's an opportunity for you to share what maybe that you like to share with all your brothers and sisters. And remember, redemption is recognized only by sharing it. If you think you're doing this for yourself, it will actually have, even though you have the correct answer, it's the wrong motivation. We do this for all. We do this for all. The moment you realize that you're doing the purpose, we all share the same purpose. So if anything spoke to you and you want to share it, please use the next 20 minutes after the music session to share. Opportunity for donation, and Barbara Ward, if you would put up the link for donation. And I think this is a special time of the year. This is the last few days of 2013, and I noticed that a lot of not-for-profits are advertising on television telling you that this is the time that you can actually make a difference. Remember that you're donating to Awakening Together, which is part of ForHolySpirit.org, a 501c3. Anything that you have donated this year, and this is probably your last time that you can donate, or you can always donate tomorrow or Tuesday as well, can actually qualify for a tax deduction on your own income. So please use that as maybe a way to take a look. Have you really received any real value here? Is this something that you actually want to support? Remembering that money is really energy. Money is really energy, and what you give, you're really giving to yourself. You're really giving to yourself. So with that, and there is the link for the donation. You're getting a charitable deduction for your donation. I think it's true for all your donations this year. Okay, turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson, for the music.
Shanti, Santi, Sola.
Children of God,
where love,
where
Thank you so much, and that was also the music of Laurel Eden. Laurel's a guest teacher here on Thursdays. Thank you so much for playing her album. Maybe you want to get her entire album. I guess it's on iTunes. Right here, right now, thanks for playing the music on peace, and the goal of this course is peace. It is not knowledge. I know people come here with the idea they're going to learn something. There is nothing to learn. That's the same maladjusted solution to a non-existent problem. If you think that you're going to learn something, that's the ego says, well, I don't really know what other people know. Actually, you don't have to listen to that voice anymore. That is not who you are. That's not who you are. So if you'd like to use the next 15, 20 minutes to share who you are after looking within and seeing the pure love that you are, share from that pure love. Share from the love that you are. You don't have to listen to that voice anymore. That is not who you are. That'll save you a lot of time. So does anyone here want to share anything at all? Anyone want to share anything at all? And remember, sharing is really caring. As we said here, redemption, this comes from A Course in Miracles, is recognized only by sharing it. And the reason he says that is if you think that you found an answer that is, wow, I found a gold nugget. Yeah, the gold nugget, if you think it's for you, you put it in your pocket for a rainy day, forget about it. That gold nugget melts. It's not even there for you anymore. It's not there for you because Suzanne is telling me that's fool's gold. That's fool's gold. You know, you're mining for gold and you find fool's gold and you think there's more gold there. No, that's what the world is, fool's gold. My father came to this country thinking that the streets were paved with gold. That's fool's gold. Okay. Anyone want to share anything at all that maybe Regina Dornay, because this mic is all yours.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. Of Ken Wapnick during the reading and during the teaching. It felt very, very right to me that we acknowledge him this morning, and I was very grateful to hear him acknowledged. Thank you so much. Also, in your speaking that you were just doing, talking about, the teaching which was saying that our worth is established by love, pure love. It reminded me of today's daily quote, actually, today's Awakening Together daily quote, which comes from Wayne Dyer. It says, you do not define anyone with your judgment. You only define yourself as someone who needs to judge. And what this kind of means to me as I, you know, listen to your teaching this morning, Dove, you know, if I define myself as superior or inferior, or I define someone else as superior or inferior, you know, or good or bad, or smart or dumb, or any other judgment that I can come up with, I'm not actually doing anything. because our worth is not established, our identity is not established by these definitions. You know, like Wayne Dyer said, you do not define anyone with your judgment. Our worth or our identity is only established by, as you said, love, pure love. And one thing I really enjoyed about Wayne Dyer's quote today, you do not define anyone with your judgment. You only define yourself as someone who needs to judge. what that says to me is, if I want to believe my judgments of good and bad, worthy and unworthy, you know, et cetera, for me and for others, really what I want is I still want to believe myself to be a person. I do not want to see myself or others as love, pure love, because I don't want to accept that is what we are, love, pure love. I don't want something non-distinct, love, pure love. I need to have individual distinctness, this good person, this bad person, this worthy person, this unworthy person, this smart person, this dumb person, this, you know, I still need all of that distinctness. And that's really what I'm doing by judging. You know, I'm realizing I want to be a person. I want to see people. You know, I want separation. I want differences. So that's what I get. That's what I see. That's the world I experience, right? But if I am willing to let go of my judgments of myself and others and circumstances, I am willing to, as you pointed out in your talk, be still, right? Just be still. And I am willing to let love, pure love, be the only defining authority. Then, as you pointed out, both through the reading that Suzanne shared and through your teaching, then love, pure love, is what I see, what I know, what I experience. It's all that there is. There's no more distinctness, no more differences, no more separation. That's what I give up. But love, pure love, is what I receive, what I know, what I am. So I thought it was wonderful how the two, your teaching, went together with today's daily quote. So thank you, Dove. Also, I just wanted to say, by pure coincidence, you started off talking about synchronicities. By pure synchronicity, tonight when I do the teaching from the teachings of Inner Ramana, the message that we're going to look at is the Inner Ramana message on purification. So when you first started talking about purification and synchronicities, I thought that was kind of funny. That happens to be the next message in the book and the one I'm going to share tonight. So thank you, Dove, for letting me take the mic for a bit.
All right. Thank you so much, Regina. And Patrick from Belgium would like to take the mic. And you reminded me of a few things, you know. Above all else, I am determined to see. So this is really about what is it that you want to see. And I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Patrick, and get back. If anyone wants to share, we have another, I guess, almost 15 minutes to share. Okay. Patrick?
So, I see Mike with a little bit of luck. You hear me? Ooh. Okay. Thank you. Well, what I want to tell you that is today I got a very strange sign. I was listening to a podcast from Jennifer Hadley, a podcast together with Ken Wapnick. It was a podcast from, I think, November 2011. When I was listening, I realized myself that I still had to do something. And I paused the podcast. And I was away for approximately 20 minutes. And when I was coming back, to my surprise, my computer, my laptop, was still on full bright mode. I mean, normally after 10 minutes, my laptop goes to low power mode. So, I see that as a sign, but as a technician, I always want to check it. And I did the same, but now I said, the Holy Spirit, when this is indeed a sign, let be everything normal with the laptop again. I did it, And after 20 minutes, I came back, and indeed, the laptop was on low power mode. So, I think the sign is clear. Ken is in the light. That's all I have to share with you. Thank you very much. Oops. How, for heaven's sake, shut my... Nope.
Good morning and happy Sunday to everyone this morning. So I got up early under the instructions of my husband, get your exercise done, and then you will have the rest of the day to yourself. This morning we have company, and it has been delightful. A wonderful supper was prepared last night. But this morning as I woke up, I remember one of Ken's messages was choose once again, that there was always right now to choose once again. And it became a really, really living message, Mel, as I was listening to everybody do what they were doing. And there was a little voice in my head and goes, boy, I really would like to just spend this time alone without any interruptions at all, without any other outer activities going on. And it came to me that I could choose once again. This thing about I can't do and I can't because other people are disturbing me or it's all other people's fault has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. Or has absolutely nothing to do with choose once again. Choose once again is on a parallel mind. There is two activities going on. One with God and one with my business of getting away from God. That's how I look at it. And my business to be involved with what's happening outside of me is what keeps me away from who I truly am. God always present, life always present, nature always present, happening right here, right now, in the midst of everything. In the midst of everything. So, this morning again, I was reminded so beautifully that there are choices we make throughout the day. And we don't even have to go throughout the day. We could do it a minute at a time. We either walk with nature, who is our true self, consciousness, being present always, or we can do detours as much as we want. But detours is what causes our misery when presently here is consciousness being exactly what it is, whole and complete. So I kind of remember this from Ken, is as I listened to his tape, the choice was always choose once again who you will serve. Serve your joy, serve your happiness, serve your completeness as the day progresses by, and you are going to shine and you're going to love who you are. Anyway, I thought that was a magnificent, magnificent way of awakening together this morning, and I really, really, really just wanted to share that with you. Thank you for listening, and I will see you right or wrong here as I listen to you guys this morning.
All right, thank you so much, Tay. And of course, whenever Tay shares, it's so inspiring. And thank you for sharing is caring here. And what you share, you give to yourself. Never forget, you can only give to yourself. was pointed out to me, speaking of synchronicity, and everything really happens perfectly, I want to thank Laurie Coburn, who, I don't know if Laurie's in the room or she was listening on the radio. I'm not sure. Is Laurie in the room? Laurie is in the room. Yeah, she's listening. She's in the room. She pointed out to me that the donation link seems to not be working. And so I asked Regina to check it out. So I'm going to call on Regina, who's going to give us the bottom line on if you went to the donation link and it wasn't working. Regina, I'm going to turn this mic over to you. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. It looks like the link wasn't working for a second, and I thought that maybe that was because Jay recently added our financial philosophy to the page, and sometimes with the donate pages, it's a little weird. Even if you add text, it breaks the links. But I think the fact that it wasn't working was actually just a little fluke, because when I went back and checked it just a couple of seconds later, you know, so that I could maybe fix it, it was actually working. So it appears to be working right now. There it is. If somebody wants to try clicking on it and test and see if it works for you, it may have just been that the server was down for a second or something. You know, those kinds of things happen. But it appears to be working fine just now. I just retested it. Yeah. So maybe Lori just clicked on it in a fluke moment, and I happened to follow in her footsteps thanks to Dove's prompt. But it appears to be working. If anyone has tried recently and it was down, please try again. I know people like to donate at the end of a year for tax purposes, and there are just a few more days if you want to get a 2013 donation in. But it does appear to be working. And if you want to read our financial philosophy, you can find it at the top of the page now, thanks to Jay McCormick adding that text. Dove, I'll turn the mic right back over to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Regina. Again, thank you, Laurie, for pointing it out. And, I think I will take a look at the fact that this is the last opportunity, at least today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, to get a deduction on this year's tax. I want to thank everyone who has joined us here and who has shared. We're about to go into a fellowship hour, which Lynn Johnson will be leading. I just want to say it has really, again, been such a privilege to be here with you and for you. And if I said I'm especially thankful for all the guest teachers who ever came here in this last 10 years. And I looked at the fact that there's some teachers who came only for a few months, and they got whatever it is that they got out of those few months. And some came for a longer term, like 3 or 4 or 5 years. And some came and never left. And I was thinking, is there a difference between all of these? And actually, there isn't. There's no difference. I'm surely totally grateful for all. Because if you look in the teacher's manual, it says, what are the levels of relationships? And it says there are these short-term relationships. Sometimes you meet somebody in an elevator. But what you're teaching during that moment, the love that you are teaching, and using another Ken Wapnick aphorism, if you're coming from love, if you are the pure love that God created, that love created, and all you're coming from is love, you can be reading the telephone book and people will hear the love you are. So it's never what you say or do. It's always your commitment to remember the truth of what you are, to teach only love. And you can do this, you don't have to do this here in a room or on a mic. You do this wherever you go. Wherever you go, you are a teacher. As it says in page 1 of the teacher's manual, everyone teaches all of the time in their waking dreams and in their nighttime dreams. That you teach, you cannot help. What you teach is up to you. So to teach is to demonstrate. To teach is to be an example of the pure love you are. It doesn't really matter what you are saying or doing. It's the pure love that you are. And I'm going to make one other thank you to, it was Jim Dunn who was teaching here earlier this morning and said, you know, even if you've come here to this room and you never picked up the microphone ever, thank you for being our teacher. Thank you for being the teacher that you are, because, yes, I can only say, who would ever come to a room and pick up a microphone? There was no one here. Everyone is our teacher. Thank you all. If you've ever been here, even once, thank you for your willingness to share your love with us all. With that, I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson, and the fellowship hour begins. I just want to mention tonight we do have Darrell Price, who is the scribe of From the Mind of Christ. The book is about listening to the same voice as it spoke to Helen. That's my opinion. Doesn't have to be yours. He's been here a number of times. He'll be here tonight at 8 o'clock following Regina Dornakis, who's on at 7 with the teachings of the Inner Ramana. I think that is going to be Jack Roddy at 6. And I guess it's going to be Benny Silverman at 5. I think you know the rest of the schedule right here, right now. Lynn Johnson, thank you so much.
Dove, and what a beautiful service. And thank you, everyone, who joined with us this